You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people. But somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast, with more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live, inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.
And it's Safety Wars for Thursday, February 19th, 2026. How's everybody doing out there? We got a lot of news out there. So we've been talking, I've been talking for a long time, even before there was a Safety Wars. On one of these days, the rich and powerful are going to have an issue because people will finally find out all the crap that's been going on. And who would have known that in 2026, I thought, you know, it was before, I was like, you know, I gave up on thinking that way a long time ago. Who would have thought unexpectedly in 2026 where this is going on? I mean, we've had all different types of sex scandals and all this other stuff, no, from time immemorial. No, you could go back, every generation had their major sex scandal. But none of them has reached the pinnacle of what we're dealing with now with the Epstein files and the continued, far from a victim in this, the former Prince Andrew. Right here, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. I mean, who would have known that stuff like this is going on? We're going to talk about it tonight on Safety Wars.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Wars. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Anyway, yes, I'm in a patriotic mood today. That's why I'm wearing my Safety Wars, a Tronic jersey. All right, 250th anniversary of the country here. At least under this, 250th, right? I'm thinking Constitution here. I don't know. So, U.S. Olympic gold medalist Elisa Liu was once targeted by Chinese spies, and here's what she had to say about it. I mean, she was first first Olympic gold medalist in women's figure skating since 2022. And also today, here, and let me make sure I got the story correct here. We have the U.S. women's hockey team. Stuns brings Olympic gold back home in the OT thriller over Canada. It's their first gold since 2018. I tell you what, that's, congratulations, ladies, and congratulations, all of you Olympic medalists. And, I know people say, well, I had to hear yesterday. Participation trophy. They're participating and they're happy to be there. Well, first and foremost, it's one hell of an accomplishment to get on the Olympic team, number one. Let's not forget that, number one. Number two, winning a medal is fantastic. So participation, I mean, that you're somebody. They're the best we got, presumably. And actually, right, if they made the team. And I tell you what, this is great. I caught a little bit of the game this afternoon, and it was good. I mean, everybody's joyful. Now, on to other things. People say, well, Jim, sometimes these programs go real dark here, blah, 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 and everything. Yeah, well, I tell you what. The... I tell you, she had Elisa Liu. Liu Yell, that's what I'm bleeping talking about. Holy bleep. Wow, right? I don't appreciate, though. The one thing I have to say is the vulgarity that we've gotten to here in this country. I mean, it's really not necessary. I mean, I'm from New Jersey. You want to talk honestly. You want to be real, keeping it real in the field, as they used to say when I was growing up. But still, the vulgarity, doesn't... I don't think it's serving us well. So today I got a safety plan. And anybody who knows me knows I do not like certain words. One of them is utilize. I'm a writer. I do write a lot of stuff, a lot of plans and everything else. But I remember back in the day, and the reviewers of my plans used to be like, it's got to be better. It's got to be here. It got to be blah, blah, blah. And then you get these plans, and it's like I'm in the other position now. I'm reviewing plans, and it's like the person used utilize like 30 times rather than use. And utilize and use are not interchangeable. So, for example, you could utilize a screwdriver as a chisel or as a crowbar, right? You're utilizing it. It's not for what it's originally intended for, right? This means optimum, right? Where you're using something to its optimum advantage, but it also means using things as not intended to. And if you're doing that in the safety world, not such a good idea, right? That means you're using things improperly, and having that as part of your plan isn't good. Now we go over here, and well, we have to mention this because the. I don't know what to say here with this. I know what to say, but I'm like, So this is the part of the statement here. So the former Prince Andrew had placed under arrest, and they're investigating him. In a statement earlier today, the king... No, King Charles III said the law must take its course and said he learned of the news with deepest concern. Yeah, I bet you did. You can have seen. No, so let's connect the dots here, right? So he's been getting punished all along for what he did. I'm not saying he didn't, deserve some type of consequence for this. Then they removed his title, right? So he went from prince to just one of us commoners out here. And now he got arrested on suspicion of corruption and other things, probably, right? They're doing in Great Britain there. They do things a little bit different than we do. There's no presumption of innocence under the law, but they're, right, in court, there's a presumption of innocence. In the investigation, just like most of your safety investigations out there, there's no presumption of innocence there, right? And that's why if you're ever involved in any type of major investigation, I always say you have the right to remain silent and you have the right to an attorney with that. And he said, well, it must take its, the law must take its course. Did he yank the prince's titles and everything else because they saw this coming? Did they have some inside information? That's my question. Did King Charles have some inside information on this whole thing? And now there's the rumor mill has started that Fergie, not the singer, but Sarah Ferguson, is next on the list where they're going to arrest and investigate. So, I don't know. I was always told, Jimmy, lead a pure life. Don't create any problems where you can. If you got to make a problem, go on ahead. Make a problem, but be smart about it. But sometimes I'm smart about it, sometimes not so smart. As I've gotten older, I would like to think I've gotten smarter about it. But let's not forget, conspiracy theorists out there, from David Icke and Alex Jones to several others, were always talking about the then Prince of Wales and his relationship with Jimmy Savile, who apparently was a famous radio personality over there in England. He was a DJ. And basically, he was friends with King Charles. I mean, seems like more than just acquaintances. And Jimmy Savile and David Icke was the first to report. And even Alex Jones said, man, you're full of, you got to watch yourself. You can't be saying the things you are. Several people were reporting, David Icke, because he lives in the Isle of Wight in Great Britain, which is a crown possession over there. He said, look, you got to be careful. You can't be saying that the Prince of Wales, the future king, is hanging out with pedophiles. And sure enough, Alex Jones said, yeah, this is ridiculous. Well, guess what? Several years later after he died, they found out that this guy, Jimmy Savile, was doing some of the same stuff that Epstein has been alleged to do, some of the things that Prince Andrew has been accused of doing. And it's, basically what's my point? It doesn't seem like anybody has clean hands over there with that. Well, what do you mean, Jim? They don't have clean hands. It seems like everybody's doing something over there. And that's my take on this whole thing here. We'll just read off some of the headlines here with this. I can't share them because, they're from non-governmental websites. King, law must take its course, even for a brother. Worst nightmare for palace. First royal jail. That's not exactly true. The last royal jail was King Charles, either the first or the second, way back in 350 years ago. Other politicians feeling the heat here. And now, former Prince Andrew was released after being arrested amid Epstein things. Accusations. And I don't know. With that, Now, none of these people are victims here, from what I can see. If they're being falsely accused, they're victims. But I don't think that this is the case here, based on all the information that's been released here. Now, my other question is this. There are victims here who are names are not redacted in a lot of the Epstein files here, while the rich and powerful, their names were redacted. They people running cover for them. And why is that? As I explained to my son over the weekend, I do have some experience, and I don't mean having from doing this program. I do have some experience with dealing with the media. I was dealing with in politics, and also as part of a lot of my graduate work was environmental reporting on in the news and how things seem to have an agenda. There was a pattern. And that there was an agenda that was being pushed on all of us. I came across a meme today that said, you're not immune from propaganda. And that is true. You're not immune from propaganda. And what is it? What's in the news? You heard the saying, buy low, sell high, right? When you're trying to buy something, right, you have the rules of acquisition from Star Trek, for example. Don't pay more than what you need to. And what is that product with the news? It's the stories, especially back before the internet. You wanted access to people, right? I can think back during the Gulf War, the news, and the only during the invasion of Iraq. In the early 2000s, Fox News was not allowed into Iraq because they knew that they weren't going to get favorable coverage. They being the Iraqi authorities, and they weren't going to get good coverage. So the other news media was allowed in there. I remember this distinctly because there would be more on balance, regardless of what your opinion is on the Gulf War. The other thing is this. And the other thing is this. Especially before the internet here, you had to go out and do a lot of footwork. You had to go out and get the story. Well, you want it to be easy. Remember, you're working on a deadline, either for broadcast or for print media. You had these things called newspapers back there where they'd print things on paper and then you would read them, buy them at the store, and then you'd read them the next day. And way back in the day, 40s, 50s, and before that, they had midday edition of papers or evening edition of papers. And you would go and you'd read this stuff. You're under deadline. You want things to be as easy as possible. Even with this program, we've developed a system. We go firstly to the government websites and we find out information and then we're able to share that in its entirety here. Why is that? Because it's all government documents. The U.S. government documents are not copyrighted. They're all in the public domain, unless they say otherwise. So that's real cheap for us to go in there, do the discussion, and we developed a system here. Well, look at all of the big stories we have here now. Right, so we have the missing persons case here out in Arizona. Guthrie, right? Nancy Guthrie there. I think that's her name. If that's not her name, Guthrie. Nancy Guthrie case, right? Cheap coverage. Very cheap coverage out there, number one. Number two, don't think that the news media doesn't have a horse in this, being that popular media members' family was targeted. So guess what? They're all very interested in this, and they're all interested in this stuff. So this is when it's cheap to do the story. They're enthusiastic. They're cheap. They're having daily news conferences and everything else. Cheap story. Imagine if someone had to go out there and research all this stuff. How much money would that have cost? A lot of money. So they want things easy. They want things cheap, just like all of us. on this. And if they have an agenda, that's another thing. So what did my master's research show? That oftentimes on environmental reporting, they went to the first paragraph of the report, first couple of sentences, and used them, or they went to one of their friends in whatever organization to tell them what was in the report, and that would end up in the report. And oftentimes what was in the report was not in the story, right? So you have what they're reporting on, but more importantly, what are they not reporting on? What's my whole point? One, we're being manipulated. Number one, it's always our thing with the news media, number one. Number two is that they want to get cheap stories and then do cheap stories. They're working under a deadline. They're not spending a lot of money doing this. And number three is they will give favorable coverage just like they have done with the royal family up until this Epstein thing, just because they're going to do that, right? And they're going to get favorable coverage because then they're going to get special access to the royal family. And the royal family is distancing themselves from the former Prince Andrew, probably because to just completely separate from him. And I think they had word that something like this was going to happen. And that's what it is. We're being manipulated. We're being our mind is being played with here. So a lot of people, right, it's Lent in the Christian tradition, several traditions, including mine, people give up something for Lent, or we call it in the Lutheran Church, a Lenten discipline, where we're not actually giving up or disciplining ourselves. And it could be you're giving someone up, something up. I know some people who give up social media for 40 days. I know some people who say, look, I'm not going to watch TV news for 40 days. I'm not going to look on certain websites for 40 days. I'm going to go out and work out for 40 days in a row. I know of one Lenten discipline where a woman used to love watching movies. She grew up watching movies and being like, her Lenten, she was working too hard and everything else, burnout. She said, you know, my Lenten discipline for 40 days is going to be, I'm not going to be a workaholic and I'm going to watch movies. I'm going to see 40 movies in 40 days. She did it. Right? You're like, well, that's, you know, that's pleasure. Well, guess what? Sometimes we all get to that point. Sounds like I'm rambling, but I'm not. Just a lot of thoughts going through my head here with how things are going, how we're being, again, manipulated by all this stuff. Some other news here, right? So you had the Jimmy Savile thing. Again, nobody heard about this. Again, weren't going to go after Prince Charles here with this, whether you're dealing with a Jimmy Savile who's allegedly a pedophile and a necrophile. So you could go and look that up, what that means. I'm not going to describe it. So some other news. HUD announced this rule that's Housing and Urban Development, would bar illegal immigrants and fraudsters from public housing. The proposed rule would bar illegal immigrants, including mixed-status households, from living in HUD housing. The Department of Housing and Urban Development on Thursday said it proposed a new rule to block illegal immigrants, including members of the mixed-status households, from living in HUD-funded housing projects, HUD says. This will reduce fraudulent activity. The days of illegal aliens and eligibles and fraudsters gaming the system and riding the coattails of American taxpayers are over, HUD Secretary Scott Turner said in a statement. HUD's proposed rule will guarantee that all residents in HUD-funded housing are eligible tenants. We have zero tolerance for pushing aside hardworking Americans while enabling others to exploit decades-old loopholes. What's going to happen there with that? Are they going to... are we going to have another housing crisis here with this? There are some arguments that are being made that people in that situation are driving up the cost of housing and making it unaffordable for everybody because increase in demand, increased prices. Here's another story. Trump says, this is from the Epoch Times. Trump says the next 10 days could decide the fate of Iran talks. Noting the June U.S. air strikes on Iran, President Donald Trump said the United States may have to take a step further if Iran does not agree to a deal on there. All right. Here we have, again, the Epoch Times is basically, I don't want to say anti-China, but pro-traditional China. Right. Texas sues Temu and Lorex over alleged CCP ties, Chinese Communist Party ties. These are the third and fourth lawsuits in 3 days targeting the Chinese communist regime. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton sued Lorex and Temu on February 19th over the company's suspected ties to the Chinese Communist Party. The third and fourth such lawsuits Paxton has brought in 3 days. Canada-based Lorex is a leading surveillance camera company that sells products such as doorbell cameras, baby monitors. It was previously owned by Dahua, a Chinese tech company that was blacklisted by the United States after it was determined that the company aided the Chinese communist regime in the persecution of Uyghurs, which is an ethnic minority, which the United States has designated a genocide. Okay, and what else we have here? Nothing else on there. Nebraska Senate hopeful funnels eye-popping amount of campaign cash to wife and family. $350,000. Senate hopeful with deep Dem ties has paid family over $350,000 from his campaign coffers. This is not an unusual thing. It happens all the time. So, for example, candidate, Dan Osborne from Nebraska, is an independent. To my knowledge, based on my experience in politics, this might not have been a question. This is questionable, but not illegal, right? As far as I know. Again, if you're running for political office, hire an accountant. Hire the best accountant you can afford, right? Because you're going to be, you're going to have a problem if you don't. Okay. Here we have Trump administration sues Coca-Cola distributor for alleged sex discrimination over an event that excluded men. Federal commission alleges company excluded male employees from employer-sponsored trip to casino resort in September 2024. U.S. EEOC filed a lawsuit against Coca-Cola Beverages Northeast Incorporated, a producer, seller, and distributor of Coca-Cola products, alleging sex discrimination. The EEOC claims the Coca-Cola distributor excluded male employees from an employer-sponsored event. The lawsuit was launched by EEOC's Boston Area's office. The commission noted the EEOC is responsible for investigating and litigating possible instances of employment discrimination. The commission alleged in an announcement of the lawsuit that in September 2024, the Coca-Cola Northeast held a two-day employer-sponsored trip and networking event at the Connecticut Mohican Sun Casino and Resort. And basically, they privately invited female employees and then excused the female, allegedly this is, the female employees who attended the event from their normal work duties on September 10th to 11th, paid them their normal salary or wages without requiring them to use vacation or other PTO. So, again, pendulum swings one way and then it swings the other way. Anonymous donation raises reward for help of finding Nancy Guthrie. $20,000 reward. Oh, I'm sorry, $200,000 reward with that. So we'll see how that is. Again, no. People say, why are they concentrating on this story? Well, it's cheap, right? Number two, the news media's own people are being targeted here. And that's not the first time that has happened. The third time is maybe, perhaps, is to keep other stories off the front page with that. Okay, and hear about this one? United States ski jumper Ben Loomis quickly, luckily, avoided what could have been a disaster at the Olympics on Thursday after being struck by a leaf blower on his attempted jump. I want to know what the hell that was about. Loomis was part of the Nordic combined steam sprint on Thursday, where he was going down the track to attempt his big jump when he was struck by one of the leaf blowers on the side of the track. Workers at the Olympics are stationed along the track to blow off excess snow. I tell you what, I would love that job. My son would, too, with that big freaking leaf. No, I got the mother of all leaf blowers. I'd bring my own leaf blower just to do this. I got, like, the mother of all backpack leaf blowers there that I bought last year. Phenomenal. And I was like, how the hell did I do without this all my life? Right? I was like, whoa. This would have been it. But anyway, this guy got struck by one of the leaf blowers on the side of the track. Workers at the Olympics are stationed alongside the track to blow off excess snow, ensuring the participants have a clean jump while they are also not slowed down. The weather conditions have also required numerous leaf blowers to make sure the track is clear. I want that job. I want that job. That's all I have to say. Screw safety. I want to be a leaf blower guy at the Olympics. Stolen ambulance allegedly driven into an Idaho DHS office building in an attempted arson attack. Meridian Police Chief Tracy Vastrera says suspect staged accelerant in vegetation before driving emergency vehicle into a DHS building. I guess, now my question is this, were the lights on or off when he did this? And hopefully nobody was hurt here, right? Let's not forget that. All right. So, you know, business as usual here in Great Britain. For this, right? Yeah, he went to the king went to a fashion event today. All right. So I have to mention my alma mater here. They did at Stockton University. They did a study here, and this is from NJ.com. New Jersey voters are changing their minds about immigration thanks to Trump. New poll shows New Jersey voters have grown more supportive of immigration and less supportive of aggressive enforcement tactics compared with recent years, according to Stockton University poll released on Wednesday. Two-thirds of voters said immigration enforcement under the Trump administration has gone too far, and 59% believe deportation tactics used by ICE make communities less safe. Only 12% said enforcement has not gone far enough. The shift extends to broader views on immigration. 47% said coming to the U.S. should be less difficult, an increase in Stockton last asked the question in October 2024, while 25% that said it should be harder. 19% said current laws strike the right balance. So, I don't know. We'll see. Things are changing. So this would normally be covered under our, this would normally be covered under in our disaster response month here, but this is actually this is from the Cato.org, the Cato Institute. They did a study here, and I find this very interesting because more information does not make us more stupid. Makes us a little bit smarter. More information may cause you to change your opinion on things, which is a good thing here. So politically motivated killers, 51 years of terrorist murders on U.S. soil from 1975 to 2025. Politically motivated terrorism is a small threat, regardless of the ideological motivations of the attackers. And this is an article by Alex Norashta. I've never met this person. I've met a lot of people from Cato. I don't ever recall meeting this person. Politically motivated terrorists are non-state actors who commit violence to achieve political, ideological, religious, or social goals. Charlie Kirk's recent assassination prompted many Americans to worry about the scale and scope of politically motivated violence. However, politically motivated terrorism is a small and vastly overstated threat, regardless of the ideological motivations of the attackers. The 208 terrorist attackers who killed at least one person on U.S. soil between January 1st, 1975 and December 31st, 2025, murdered 3,577 people. Right? The bulk of that, I'm going to say, was 9/11, right? 87% of that was 9/11 attacks, which were 25 years ago almost. Murders and politically motivated attacks account for about 0.35%, so that's less than a half a percent of all murders during that time, which translates to an annual chance of being killed in such an attack in about 1 in 4 million per year. Right. The deadliest motivating ideology for those attacks is Islamism, which accounts for 87% of all deaths and includes those who were murdered on a 9/11. Yeah, okay. Well, again, I think that's a little bit skewed here, right, with that. But what else do these things say? Right-wing ideology is the second deadliest motivation at 10%. War attacks, right? 9/11, one attack? Right, or two, if, or three, if you want to include the World Trade Center, right, out in Skanksville, Pennsylvania, and in the Pentagon. I don't know if that's the name of the town in Pennsylvania. That's what came to mind, but I've been there twice. Right-wing ideology is the second deadliest motivation at 10%, left-wing ideology at 2%, and unknown other foreign nationalism and separatism account for about 1% of all murders. Right, so two attacks are responsible for most of the terror deaths in the U.S., 9/11 and 1995 Oklahoma City bombing. Those two attacks caused 3,147 deaths, which 88% of all terrorist murders over the 51-year period. Of the other 430 murders, right-wing terrorists account for 45% of people murdered. That's right. Islamists are 32%. Left-wing terrorists are responsible for 16% and everything else. But so what's the point here with this? It gives us some reality here. We've always been taught to be afraid of left-wing terrorists. That's what you hear in the media most often. But it's in reality that they're a very small percentage of this compared to the other ones. So, I don't know. Right? With that, the truth is hard sometimes with this stuff. So let's go on over to Baileysville, Maine. We reported on this story before. A second worker has died in connection with a gas incident at Woodland Pulp in Baileysville last month. Alan Hornberger, 26, was a process engineer who joined the company in September 2025. Again, new employee. Mill officials told WMTW media partner WABI on Wednesday. The January 27th incident also resulted in the death of Casey Malcolm, a 20-year-old chemical engineering student at the University of Maine, who had been an intern at Woodland Pulp since June 2025. Hornberg had been hospitalized since the incident and died of his injuries on Tuesday. Federal investigators from the Chemical Safety Board are investigating the fatal chemical release. Here. According to initial information submitted by Woodland Pulp to the CSB, the incident may have involved the mixing of concentrated sulfuric acid with sulfurous compounds. Remember, sulfuric acid is an oxidizer. It's the most common oxidizer, at least it was, at least when I was growing up, in the United States. Here, a catalyst, it was used like as sulfuric acid with that, and then closed process sewer resulting in generation of and release of hydrogen sulfide, a highly toxic gas, in the bleach plant area of the facility. And that's, imagine swamp gas. Well, when you get, when it smells like rotten eggs, and what's the description of Rotten eggs. I don't think it smell. It smells like hydrogen sulfide. Right. Always got a kick out of that. But when you reach, I believe it's 100 parts per million of hydrogen sulfide, it's an olfactory inhibitor, meaning you can't smell over that. And then it becomes flammable, and then it becomes choking and everything else with that. And the CSV's investigation will examine the circumstances and surrounding release, including the company's chemical handling practices. The CSV does not issue signs or citations or fines, but makes safety recommendations to the companies. Here's some other trivia. The CSV stuff cannot be used in litigation there. So rest in peace to those workers there. So I don't know if I'll be on tomorrow night, but we may be at war with Iran by then. Because we are gathering all this munitions and equipment there in the Persian Gulf area, and to try to force Iran apparently to the negotiation table and actually come to a settlement here. Good luck on that one with that. Here we have another one here. One of our friends in the program always talks about this, right, with this. He's was supplying arms to, illegally, an arms dealer, and how he was supplying arms to Ukraine until Biden could put the kibosh on it and then had his people sell munitions to Ukraine. Back during the Obama-Biden years, and always annoyed him with this. But, so a lot of money to be made in war is my point. And talks about ending the war, Ukraine and Russia have converged on one goal, to avoid angering Donald Trump by appearing to block peace. They continue to send delegations to talks mediated by U.S. officials who applaud their constructive attitude and report back to Trump, who seeks a peace deal in Ukraine and has his greatest diplomatic victory. U.S. broker negotiations in Geneva this week ended like all others this year, with no one able to point to any real movement. The heads of Russia's delegation, Vladimir Medinsky, called the talks tough but businesslike. Ukraine's chief negotiator, Rustam Umerov, described them as substantive. Yeah, I could say all those Russian names, but I can't say substantive. The U.S. Special Envoy, Steve Witkoff, hailed meaningful progress without specifying. The upbeat diplomatic buzzwords belie the impasse in the peace process that many observers and even some participants have said has turned into political theater. Yeah, I can't disagree with that, with this. They got to stop the war, dude. They got to stop the war. Enough here. So this is also out of the Wall Street Journal. The beef industry has a message to consumers. Get used to higher prices. I tell you what, we've been buying a lot of pork and a lot of chicken. A lot of vegan meals there because, it's ridiculous, the price of all this stuff. What is it? It is a supply problem with that. Again, ranchers began shrinking their herds several years ago because of poor financial conditions. Stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic, a severe drought also burned up their grazing pastures. So here's another conspiracy theory for you. Was the COVID-19 pandemic one of the hoped-for effects, or one of the not-bad effects, according to one point of view? One of them was to drive up beef prices so people stop eating red meat and having more healthy situation, right, being healthier. That's a question that I always ask with this when they start playing with food supplies. And that's all we have here for tonight. We're going to go. We're going to have some pre-recorded stuff after this. And with that, so for Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
You got into the safety business because you wanted to protect people, but somewhere along the way, the job started controlling your time, your schedule, your priorities, even your income potential. What if the expertise you've built over the years in the field can give you something more? More freedom, more control, more ownership of your future. I'm Sheldon Primus, the author of 7 Steps to Starting a Profitable Safety Consulting Business and the host of the Safety Consultant Podcast. With more than 350 episodes helping safety professionals become consultants and grow their career. Consulting changed my life. In fact, I'm a full-time RVer and one consulting contract paid for my home I live in today. Now, I help safety professionals build their own consulting practice through bi-weekly coaching calls, accountability, and personal guidance. But this program isn't for everyone. Start with the consultant readiness audit at sheldon.coach.
What if everything we thought we knew about safety was just interference? From the host of the Rated R Safety Show and the founder of Safety FM comes the complete Signal Transmission Trilogy, now available in one powerful edition. Safety, in my opinion, the book that started the conversation. Safety Mutation, where the boundaries of culture, systems, and belief begin to break. And now, Safety Transmission, the final piece of the Signal. For the first time, all 3 books are together in one volume. The Signal Transmission Trilogy, complete edition. This isn't just about compliance. It's about consciousness. It's about decoding the way we think, lead, and live inside and outside the system. Whether you've been following the Signal since the beginning or you're just now tuning in, this is the version to own. Search Signal Trilogy on Amazon or visit safetyfm.com to get your copy now.